football team gets their first win of the year last night. They a 63-point win, and it was a slam dunk fest on SUNY Delhi last night. An impressive showcase to anybody who was at Broadview Center or watching the broadcast and listening to the play-by-play on ESPN+.
We had some fun, Plus.
We had some fun. It was a fun night if you wanted to see just what kind of team Dwayne Killings has this year. The head coach joins us on 104.5 The Team. Coach DK, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, up in the office, about to get ready to meet with the staff, ready for practice, and learn a little bit from last night and get ready for Rhode Island this weekend.
All right, so let's start with what I thought was – I'll ask you a follow-up on what you did learn – what you learned last night about your team in a 63-point win. But what I thought it did was, DK, I thought it showcased your team to what I thought was a better crowd than I thought was going to be there last night. And then anybody watching on ESPN+, you got a chance to showcase what you've been talking about all preseason long. I think that was a big win for the fan base to watch last night. Do you agree?
Yeah, totally. You know, today's world of college basketball is a lot different. And, you know, we have a couple tasks here that we're trying to do in the month of November. And, you know, it's trying to get our team, you know, to grow really, really fast. And obviously we're scheduling really aggressively. We played UMass and Marquette to open up the year. We got Rhode Island coming up. Obviously, Siena's still going to play Florida Atlantic, South Carolina, and many others. We got to get our team ready for those kind of battles. But what we wanted to do last night was, okay, we played two really tough games, but now, you know, we haven't had a chance to play certain guys, Ife West Ingram, Bautista, you know, we got to try different lineups. We also got to get confidence. And, you know, I think Isaac Abide is going to be really good for us, Miles Rose too, but, you know, their opportunities have been limited so far. So last night they had that chance. And then from a marketing and just like team awareness standpoint, you know, you put your guys out there and they have a chance to being a little bit more of an aggressor, you know, role, so to speak. And now people walk away saying, like, wow, these guys got some athletes. They can do some different things. You know, yeah, we're going to play a really, really tough schedule. But much like high major teams, you know, you have bye games. We go out to Marquette. We go out to South Carolina. Go out to Florida Atlantic. You know, they compensate you for those opportunities. We have a chance to kind of be on the other side of it. And, you know, now we're playing a couple non-D1s and get a chance for your team to grow and build some confidence that you need because – we're a brand new team with guys in new roles, 10 new players, and I thought we took a step in the right direction. I think there's a little bit of buzz on campus and in the community about our team, and then we get back to work on Friday with a really tough game.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from me in getting a chance to watch your team for the first time last night. And you want fans to come back, right? Get them back in the building. And I think the fans that were there last night are going to want to come back and see your team play again. It was an electrifying night. You played above the rim. I'll tell you that, DK. You've talked about playing above the rim. You got plenty of guys to do that. Outside of showcasing the team, what did you learn last night? What were you trying to accomplish? Well, I guess we know what you're trying to accomplish, but what did you learn from your team in a 63-point win?
Well, you know, we started a new thing. We call it Club Broadview. And, you know, it's just like an after-hours shooting club where guys got to come in together and they got to get a certain number of shots up. And then, you know, we come in and we do our shooting in the mornings. And our staff's done a great job, you know, just getting their reps. And I thought it showed, you know, we shot the ball well last night. I think it was hard in the first two games to shoot the way that we wanted because we were kind of under the pressure, you know, in both games. And I thought our flow was a little bit disrupted. Then we shared the ball really well. I mean, I thought our guys really moved it. And they gave themselves up, you know, whether it was for a jump or a layup, a dunk, whatever it was. I think those things were really good. And then, you know, I thought we showcased our athleticism. I want us to grow in our discipline and our maturity, but that's going to take some time. I mean, you know, again, we just got guys in different roles. You know, a couple of the guys that are going to be leaders for us this year, they weren't available. Bulat Fall, Will Richardson, you know, those guys were not available for the game yesterday. So, you know, that's a part of our DNA that we need. And, you know, just kind of the poise and, you know, the offensive execution. And, you know, we talked about managing our emotions, whether it's in a really hard, you know, moment of adversity or in celebration. We still got a job to do, but, you know, guys need to have some fun. I mean, this is college basketball. You got to have fun with the journey. You got to have fun with the moments. And I think our guys, you know, they earned that yesterday.
DK, a guy who, it's safe to say, you know, and we chatted about this a little bit on Monday, but is, you know, earning minutes and has been with you for a couple years now is obviously Zachary Mutulu. He's off to a great start through three games. You know, last night defensively just literally rips the ball away and in transition sets up the alley-oop. Obviously had a great game. You know, in talking with you guys and the team, clearly worked on his body in the off season too, and I think that's evident as well. How much would you attest to Zach overall this year? And did you notice from the off season until now and anticipate that he could take a jump and this could be a big year for him when healthy?
Yeah, I was talking to his high school coach this morning actually, and just saying how proud I was of Zach. I mean, I told our guys this summer in July when we first got here, you know, everybody stood up and introduced themselves. And while Zach was standing up, I said, hey, guys, this kid's going to try to outwork you every day, and he's going to try to take your minutes. And, you know, this is competition. I mean, the kids are competing against each other to play. And I think, you know, Zach, we talk about the jersey has weight. And when we say that, the jersey has expectations. You know, the jersey, it means a lot to a lot of different people. For Zach, it means a little bit because nobody believed in him, you know, but our program. We gave him an opportunity, and yeah, he believes in himself, and he does the work, and he's earned it. I mean, he's earned a starting spot, and, you know, I told the guys the story of Wally Pippen and Cal Ripken. You know, some guys take a day off, and once guys get an opportunity, they never look back, and, you know, Zach's put a lot of pressure on guys because he's attacking his opportunity, and I'm proud of him.
All right, on to Rhode Island, DK. What kind of matchup are we looking at here? And can the Great Danes get a signature non-conference win here, which would be awesome, Friday night at Rhode Island?
Yeah, I think we have to be able to sustain a high level of play at Marquette, at UMass. You know, if you watch the game, you know, you watch it for 12, 14, 15, 16 minutes, you're like, wow, these guys are going toe-to-toe, and then you wear it down. You can't wear it down mentally or physically. You know, they play fast. You know, they play really fast. I think, you know, they had our guy Sebastian Thomas last year, and I think they learned that tempo. You know, they're top 40 in the country. A lot of it was because of Sebastian. I think they learned what that was about, and now they're trying to replicate that in their new team. We're going to have to do a great job on the glass. We're going to have to do a tremendous job on our transition defense, which has not been good enough so far. And then, you know, what I challenged our guys was, you know, last night was a lot of fun. Now, can we do it when we ratchet up the competition? Can we get to the rim like that? Can we play above the rim like that? Can we share it like that? Can we rebound it like that? And can we shoot it like that? I mean, you know, again, it's not so much about who we're playing. It's about how we attack the moment and the opportunity. And, you know, another part to it, we've got to be confident. You know, I think we're learning the confidence in the shoes that we're walking in right now, and great test for us, you know, at Rhode Island, really good team. But I said to our guys, my expectation is we can win the game, but it's about how we, you know, approach the moment.
DK, you know, last night post game with Matt Kearns after the win, you mentioned how, you know, important and imperative it is for Amir Lindsey to lead you guys, and that's been obvious with how much he dictates the flow of the offense and the plays in the backcourt. You know, and just him being a returner as well. How much, and you hear this all the time in college basketball, I mean, you know it as well as anybody, the relationship and the trust the coaches have to have with their players, and how much trust do you have overall, DK, in Amir Lindsey being the guy, the catalyst, that really just everything flows through him, essentially, in most of your plays on offense?
Yeah, you know, Amir's a winner. You know, the kid's a straight-A student, great kid, works extremely hard. You know, you walk in the gym, you walk out of the gym, he's out there shooting, talking to guys. I mean, he's even like, we got a couple of guys, they struggle with execution. And I walked in one day and, you know, I just smiled. And I walked in to practice and he's got guys going through plays. I mean, he understands what it takes. I think all credit to his parents. I mean, you know, they both have a military background. I think they've instilled just this resilience and maturity in him. And, you know, you trust kids like that. You trust kids like Zach Mutulu. You know, one thing that we have found, and this is like the next step for us, is, you know, Jaden Kimpson's a really talented kid. And now we got to kind of share the ball handler responsibilities with him and Amir, because I think Jaden's shown an ability to play with a burst of speed and break guys down and gives you a little bit different look. But then what that does, it allows Amir to make shots and get off the ball. And Amir's a very good shooter. And the best thing about Amir is, you know, when you sit down and talk to him about it, he's like, I get it, because that's going to help us win. And Amir Lindsey wants to win the championship, so that's what makes him really special.
Fair enough, Coach. Always a pleasure. Congrats on the showcase last night. It was definitely a big hit for the fans who were there and who watched. And good luck on Friday night at Rhode Island.
Thanks a lot. We got a lot more work to do, but I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.
Thanks, DK.
Appreciate
it.
That's Dwayne Killings with us here on Big Board Sports. The bunker location, Mohawk Harbor in Schenectady, and the doors opening right now for Wednesday lunch and the rest of the day and indoor golf. And we welcome Heather Dinich from ESPN to talk some college football here on this Wednesday morning on ESPN Radio in Albany. Heather, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Is it snowing up there? It's cold in here in Bristol.
It was
flurrying this morning.
Yeah, we had a little light snow yesterday, and winter, Heather, has hit early here in the 518.
Good football weather, my friends.
Good football weather.
It is. And,
hey, listen, I'm from Altoona, Pennsylvania. I've lived in this climate for many, many, many years. And speaking of which, Heather, who's going to be the next head coach at Penn State? Do we have any idea?
Jeez, no. All I know is it can be anyone they want it to be. I wish people would stop talking about Mike Tomlin. Leave him alone.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't think Mike Tomlin is leaving the Steelers, to be honest with you. And I was in Pittsburgh at a wedding on Saturday, and the wedding was in the evening, and we're all watching and locked into the Penn State game.
Oof.
And what an ending against Indiana. What a catch, Heather Dinich, to the back of the end zone to win that game, because I thought Penn State had that one.
That was a Heisman moment for Fernando Mendoza, and he willed his team to a win against the Nittany Lions. And what we saw from Penn State in that game shouldn't be underestimated, because we saw flashes of why they were so highly thought of coming into this season. I mean, people have to remember, there were 10 guys on that team who turned down the NFL draft to come back this year. There's talent on that team. It's a very unique and complicated 3-6 record that shouldn't be a 3-6 record. So I think people in the selection committee meeting room valued that win. They valued that final drive with a go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. And they also considered the fact that, yes, Texas A&M won on the road, beat a CFP top 25 team at the time in Mizzou. But Mizzou was playing with their backup quarterback in, 19-year-old freshman Bo Prabula was out of the starting lineup with an injury. And I think all of that factored into why the Hoosiers stayed at 2 and the Aggies stayed at 3.
And now, Heather, you're looking at a Penn State team that I think they're going to have to run the table to be even bowl eligible, a team that started the year as the number 2 ranked team in the country with the expectations this year higher than ever to win a national championship under James Franklin, who has also been fired. What a story.
It's remarkable. But you know what? It was also one of the first dominoes in a college football firing season that I have never seen in my life. And I don't know if we'll ever see this again, but literally have never seen anything like the coaching carousel that has unfolded before mid-November. It's a wild story for Penn State, but I can also tell you I was working at the Center Daily Times, and I covered the worst season in school history when Joe Paterno was there, and they went 3-9, and they're not there yet, guys.
Thankfully.
Yeah, you're right. Thankfully is right. Heather, I hear that you finally met my girlfriend, Lauren, which is great. She is the breadwinner, believe it or not. So I'm not sure if she told you in the conversation. I am a big Notre Dame fan. They're always so intriguing with this committee, right? Being that they're independent, they are 7-2. They did lose to Miami and Texas A&M, who are, good football teams, especially Texas A&M, still being unbeaten. What does Notre Dame have to do to really solidify and lock their place in the college football playoff, Heather? They're currently ranked 9. Is it just as simple as win out and they're in? Or could it be even if they win out, they might need help from some other teams?
Well, because they're number 9 this week, it appears that if they win out, they should be in. And I think another key in that is the head-to-head win against USC, because that's another team that's on the bubble that could play its way in. If they run the table and beat Oregon, they've got a 10-2 record as well, but they've got that head-to-head loss to Notre Dame, which is good for the Irish. But, I mean, look, the bottom line is they cannot afford to lose at Pitt. They can't lose. They cannot lose. They can't have 3 losses. But if they do run the table, as they are more than capable of doing, you would think that they would absolutely be in the college football playoff.
Well, Heather, I just came from Pittsburgh, and believe me, there was plenty of Pitt fans that think that Pitt can upset Notre Dame. Do you think they can?
Oh, yeah. Anything can happen. I mean, look at what's going on across the board at college football Saturdays. And Pitt might be playing the best football of any team in the ACC right now. I think, to me, though, Notre Dame has the edge for two reasons. It's just old school football. It's playing good defense, and it's being able to run the ball. And while Pitt's quarterback, their freshman, has been playing very well, I think that the veteran edge and experience will go to Notre Dame's defense.
Heather, how about this Iowa Hawkeyes team? I know they got three losses. You know, Roger and I do play-by-play for UAlbany, and we opened the season on the road at Kinnick Stadium, which is obviously a special atmosphere, right? And they lost a close one against Oregon. Three losses is usually hard to make the playoff. Is there any scenario at all where Iowa could get really close to the Final 12 here, or are they just going to have a good bowl game and might be on the outside looking in?
Yeah, my guess is the outside looking in. I think it's too much to overcome at this point. But I will tell you, you know, the committee clearly has a lot of respect for them. In my own top 25 for ESPN.com, I didn't move them at all. I can't remember exactly where I had them, but I know they were in the same spot. It was like 20-something. So Oregon had a really good game against them and showed the committee something. But I think USC has to play in similar fashion. I'll be curious to see how Iowa fares after that tough loss to the Ducks. But at the end of the day, this is not a team that USC should take lightly by any stretch.
Heather, in your mind, who is the top team? Is it truly Ohio State? Are they the best team in the country?
I believe so, but I mean, we'll find that out in the Big Ten championship game when they play Indiana. But I just think when you're talking about the most complete team and the best defense, Ohio State has separated itself. But when you're talking about all three of those teams, Ohio State, Indiana, and Texas A&M, it's such a fine line of separation between all three of them. Gosh, if only they could just play each other. We'll solve that problem in the Big Ten championship game, it appears. I was more surprised by the firing of Kelly at LSU, to be honest, because with Franklin, you're talking about over a decade of a record against AP top 20 teams, top 10 teams, whatever one you want to point to, right? And I think after the loss to Oregon, the atmosphere amongst fans was so toxic, and alumni, and it wasn't a bad environment within the program. We're not talking about like player disciplinary issues or things like that. It was different with Penn State. With Brian Kelly, yeah. I mean, you can still have a three-loss team in the mix for the college football playoff. Now, they weren't playing up to his expectations. He was selling this team all summer as a team that could compete for the national title, and they played far below those expectations. But at the same time, you know, if you lose the locker room, I understand that conversation, right? That's a little bit different. But just in terms of the production on the field, I thought it was a little bit jarring.
Heather, obviously I love your work and everything you do with college football, but arguably my favorite thing is when you're on SportsCenter with Gary Streisky and Randy Scott. I mean, you guys just have so much fun. I've been lucky enough to meet them and golf with them through Lauren as well. Obviously just great dudes overall. How much fun... like, is it as fun with what we see on camera, off camera, I assume, with Gary and Randy, Heather, when you were on SportsCenter with them?
Oh, it's the real deal. They are hysterical. I mean, in the hallways, in the green room, in the makeup room, like, what you get is what you see from those guys. They make work fun, that's for sure, and they are 100% genuine in everything that they do, and they just make it so fun to come to work.
Is Pitt and Notre Dame, is that the headline this weekend, or is it Oklahoma, Alabama?
That's a coin toss. Both of them have no margin for error in my mind. They're equally as compelling, but I think when you look at Oklahoma at Alabama, that one can truly go either way. But if Oklahoma loses to Alabama, it's really banking on a win against Michigan as a three-loss team to get into the college football playoff, and I just don't think they have enough on their resume to compensate for a loss. When you look at the fact that right now, today, they would be out of the college football playoff if it were today, because in those 11th and 12th spots, those teams are going to get bumped out during the seeding to make room for the ACC and Group of Five champions.
Heather, one more for me quick here. How about Texas-Georgia? No, another great one at night as well at 7:30. How much pressure do you think is going to be on Arch Manning in this game? And do you see him, you know, having a big game and could see Texas winning here on the road, and he can silence a lot of doubters that may still be out there?
Texas can win, but they need to put together the most complete game of the season to date. I think we've all watched incremental progress from this team since the loss to Florida. They've continued to find ways to win against lesser opponents, but this is going to be the toughest test that they've faced since the season opener at Ohio State. And if they lose, then the pressure is on to beat Arkansas and Texas A&M, and even that might not be enough to lock up a spot in the college football playoff. So I do believe that this one is significant in terms of playoff implications, but I would not call it a must win because there's still another opportunity out there to beat a top five team.
Heather Dennis, keep up the great work. Really appreciate you popping on with us here for a few minutes on ESPN Radio in Albany, and can't wait to see how the rest of this college football season plays out.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks. Yep, thanks, guys.
Take care. Heather Dennis with us here on Big Board Sports. We're on location at the Bunker in Schenectady, Mohawk Harbor, and we are open for lunch, locked in here on a Wednesday, talking New Albany football with head coach Jared Ambrose, as we got two games left in this season, hosting Towson on Saturday afternoon at KC Stadium at 1 o'clock. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Appreciate morning, you, man. Appreciate you. And just watching the highlights of that game on Saturday, man, that thing was that could have gone either way, back and forth. Your offense was cranked up and came up a little bit short, but I did hear you say you're proud of your team. What did you see after looking at the video there and watching that one unfold at KC Stadium?
Hey, you know, we week in, week out, you know, continue to battle. You know, it's been a tough year, as we talked about on the show, with, you know, the injuries and things. But you can't sit there and obsess upon them. You know, you got to get out there and compete. And, you know, they say next man up. And I'm proud. You know, we got a lot of guys who are making selfless decisions that might not be in their best interest, you know, putting the team first. And you continue to see that on display each week.
What'd you see, Jared, out of your offensive flow? I talked to Jack Shields yesterday, your starting quarterback, and he seemed pretty pleased with the way the offense was able to move the football a little bit. And obviously, you put 24 points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys, you know, we challenged them last week to really master the game plan. And, you know, mastering the game plan is knowing something so well you can't mess it up. And you kind of saw that on display. So when, you know, we commit to, you know, that type of execution, you'll see, you know, production. And had a couple guys make big plays. You know, we focused on our tight ends more. And Steve Mahar and Carter Moses, he's had huge games. And, you know, Griffin Waddell continues to go back to that old form. So it was fun to see some of the old faces show them their old selves.
So Mahar has quite the resume, Coach. How did you land Stephen Mahar, who was at one point at Duquesne for a year, and then he was 4 years at Syracuse? He is a big boy, and I know he wants to play in the National Football League, but how about the addition of Stephen Mahar to your team this year and his performance on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, Steve was one of the guys that I've kind of had my eye on for a long time, even when I was at Delaware, knowing he was at Aquinas. We tried to make a run at him, and obviously, you know, Syracuse was a bigger program at the time, and, you know, Steven wanted to stay close to home. He's a little bit of a homebody. So when it turned around and he was ready to leave Duquesne, you know, we got on the horn real quick, and Steve was like, I want to play my last season of college football close to home. So I said, come on, let's do it. And, you know, Steve's been – he's an interesting guy. He's obviously very talented, but – the growth in Steve has been so much fun to watch here.
Coach, it's like Roger alluded to in the beginning. It's on at Towson for the final home game of the year in Senior Day, of course, which is always special. You know, you've been around a lot of these players and being the offensive coordinator here for several years at UAlbany. What is Senior Day going to mean to you now, experiencing that for your first time as a head coach here coming up on Saturday?
Well, you know, I've always felt Senior Day is a special day for the players. You know, the reason why most guys get into coaching is because they want to see young men turned into, you know, the best version of themselves. And when you get to watch some of the guys that came in as freshmen and, you know, walk with their families onto the field and be recognized, it's a special experience. And, you know, I'm just thrilled I've been able to have a relationship with so many of these guys and their families. And be able to see them, you know, grow into the people that their families probably wanted them to become. So that's always special, you know, regardless of what season or year it is, seeing growth and development be appreciated.
And it's and Jared, to your credit, I mean, this team practices hard, and every guy that I talk to, the morale seems to be, you know, high. I mean, for a team that obviously the win-loss record not what you wanted, how difficult has that been for you to get this team to respond, or has it been easy because of the quality of player that you have on the squad?
It's a little bit of a challenge, you know, because obviously you work hard for those 12 or 11 opportunities each Saturday in the fall to achieve an outcome, you know, and really the grind of college football is not those 11, 12 days. It's everything in between. And these guys have, you know, been so committed to, you know, everything I've asked them to do. And, you know, they believe in it, and, you know, they don't buy into it because you can sell out of it. They believe in. And, you know, you see that when you come to our practices. You see that when you see them play for 60 minutes. You know, we've poured a foundation here that's going to be something substantial over time. And if you ask our players, they'll tell you. You know, it's just they come to work every day, and they love football. And they realize every day that it is an opportunity that not everybody is blessed to have. So, you know, damn the results. You know, I don't like them. They don't like them. But we are committed to our process here, and that'll always be the most important thing that we do day in, day out. And the guys know over time that's going to yield significant results.
And Jared, you believe that you still have the right formula, the right model, the right commitment from the coaching staff to the group of players that this thing moving forward will get a whole lot better and fix itself?
Absolutely. I mean, Raj, if I wouldn't believe that to be the case if I felt like our players weren't giving their absolute best effort day in, day out. And they do. They do. And you can see it and you can feel it. And when you're here, it's not even a question. And that's due to the player leadership we have here and our assistant coaches. And they do a great job with it. So given the right amount of time, this thing will take off. You know, we got to get healthy. You know, we got to get strong. But as long as we remain committed to everything that our standard is here in the program, we will see results in the future.
Yeah, and it's a standard that I know you set from day one when you took over as the head coach. All right, Jared, how about this week? How's Townsend look to you, and what needs to happen to get that W here at KC Stadium, your final home game of the year?
Yeah, this is your classic Towson football team. They're very athletic. They're very big. They're very strong. You know, they play a physical brand of football. You know, what we got to do to win the game is, you know, we got to get their quarterback uncomfortable. He's a young kid. He's been playing really well in the conference. You know, we got to mitigate the big plays to some of the really good wide receivers. It's a veteran group. And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, we got to always protect it. We can't give them, you know, free possessions. And, you know, we got to make big plays. You know, we made a couple big plays last week, and it kind of put the wind in our sails, and we got to continue to just grow that out. You know, it's not going to be the only thing we do. We're not going to try and take big plays every play. You know, we got to be able to run the ball and own the clock a little bit, but when the big plays there to be made, we got to make it.
Fair enough, Coach Ambrose, always a pleasure talking with you all year long. We'll do it again next week, and I'll see you for the coaches show later on tonight.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Coach. And yeah, tight ends were the theme. We have I interviewed Stephen Mahar yesterday at practice. Is going back on his resume, and he played 4 years at Syracuse. He was a 4-year guy at Syracuse. He's a grad student right now, in his final year. Wants to play in the National Football League. Carter Moses is a senior from Hempstead, North Carolina, which is I'm very familiar with. My father lives in Hempstead, but he's had an outstanding year, Carter Moses. So he will be featured on our Mic'd Up segment, and Irv Wiggins Jr. Will be our in studio guest. We tape it
veteran
tonight.
Veteran corner.
Actually, I feel like Irv Wiggins has been around for a while. He's only listed as a sophomore.
Interesting.
He's a sophomore.
Is it a redshirt sophomore?
Redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, so about 3 years. Yeah,
so, I mean, he's got the opportunity to come back next year. And, look, it's been a rough year. But when you listen to Jared Ambrose, he feels like that he still has a really good handle on the program and the direction that he wants it to go. There were a lot of issues this year that – you know, have been tough to overcome.
The portal
and guys leaving and
injuries.
then trying to recruit guys to replace the guys that have left and the guys that came in, maybe not the same caliber of the guy that left. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening when you are thrown in as an interim head coach when Jared Ambrose was in February. But I do think the players believe in him and they are bought in. And, you know, I mean, you know, what's going to happen with that program? I honestly, I do not know. But I think Jared has certainly worked his tail off in a difficult situation. And then to your point, you know, being thrust in there with a lot of moving parts, just not having maybe the quality player at certain positions that you need this year to win, that you'll have an opportunity to recruit, you know, in the off season here coming up in 2 weeks. But to your point, you have 22 players that suffered season-ending injuries.
How does anybody overcome that? It's not even just guys that are key players to the team, and it started all the way in the beginning of the year.
And guys that left up front on that offensive line. You know, that's kind of been – you had about three guys.
Ozzie Hutchinson got looks from NFL teams.
Yeah, three guys up front that were really good last year,
Duggery,
a couple others. Some of them are playing at the next level. Some of them didn't make good choices. They're not playing at all. Latulipe is playing at the next level, I believe. Duggery, I don't believe, is playing at the next level. So, you know, there were some guys that made some decisions that maybe they would want to have those decisions back. But you need an offensive line. They've kind of struggled a little bit in that area this year. But we'll see how it all plays out and see if they can get a win. There's two games left, Towson at home and then on the road at Monmouth. To end the season. Mohawk Harbor, right next to Rivers Casino. Beautiful spot and open for lunchtime and the rest of the day. And if you're into a little indoor golf, no better spot than any of the bunker locations in the Capital Region. Roger Weiland with you on this Wednesday. And as always, we talk Adirondack Thunder. And welcome to head coach Sylvain Cloutier to our show, where things are always rocking up in Glens Falls. When it comes to the Thunder and the fans who pack in to watch some hockey. Sylvain, Roger Weiland, Michael Johnson Jr., how are you today? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. No, I'm good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah. How was the weekend?
You know what? It was, we started off slow on Friday night. You know, we ended up losing that game. I think it was 3-1 or 4-1, maybe empty net goal, but our special teams, we didn't do a good enough job on our power play, but also when you only score one goal, you're not going to win a hockey game. But it got better as the weekend went on. I felt Saturday we should have had that game also. We ended up losing in overtime. I think that we had to kill the last 4 minutes of regulation and plus 2 minutes in the overtime of 5-on-3, 4-on-3. So, you know, very unlucky bounce. Like, we went to ice the puck and it went all the way across the full rink into the stands, so that put us shorthanded for the overtime. We got unlucky there. We almost had it killed, and then, you know, at some point when you kill that much of 4-on-3, 5-on-3, the power play was bound to get one, and they did. And then Sunday was a totally different team. Our team came out and, you know, we won 6-2, and they played the right way. It's just a matter of having these guys be consistent. Right now we're a little inconsistent.
Yeah, I mean, you score six goals, so you had the offense cranked up on Sunday. What was the difference there in the offense getting rolling?
I mean, all week we've talked about getting to the blue paint, which we haven't really done. We got away from it a little bit, and, you know, if you want to score goals at any level, you have to get into their house, and you have to get into that blue paint. And we were crashing the net on Sunday. We started a little bit on Saturday night, and then finally Sunday we went to the net hard, and we had bodies there. We beat their D's to the front, and we had our chances, and guys finally buried.
That was three in a row on the road Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Norfolk. How was that road trip for you? That takes a lot out of you, doesn't it, and your team, Sylvain?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, we had a pretty tough stretch and really proud of the guys. I mean, to start, only played two games at home so far out of eight, and to be on the road, and we're, you know, I think we're 4-2-1-1 right now. I got to give those guys credit, and now we get a chance to play one at home coming up. But then we got another three on the road again. But no, the guys, yeah, it does. We gave them like travel days, not much of a day off, right? You spend the whole day at the airport and get home late, and so we gave them yesterday off, and then today we got back on the ice, and hopefully we'll have the fresh legs going here for Friday at home.
What did it mean for Jimmy Dowd Jr. to get his first professional goal on Saturday?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, you know, the boys were really happy, and obviously, you know, knowing his dad and played against him, you know, I'm sure it was extra special for the family. And no, Jimmy's, you know, he came in, he was on the outside looking in, and he got his chance to play here the last few games, and right now he's not coming out of the lineup. He waited for his chance, and he's taking full advantage.
And then I'm reading the game notes here, and we thank Rob Lapolis for helping us out along the way. But Cam Squires and Grant Loban tie a team record on Saturday, Coach, scoring each of their goals just 11 seconds apart. That's a pretty cool stat right there.
Yeah, it is a pretty cool stat, especially for, you know, the two young guys. And, you know, Squires, a high prospect from New Jersey, and he's been known to score goals. And then you got Lovey, who's been here with us since day one at training camp, and he was on the IR to start the year, and he just kept working hard and just waiting for his opportunity, and he took full opportunity last weekend. So those guys get rewarded for their hard work. It's always great to see that.
Coach, what about the schedule coming up this week for you guys? Obviously, Saturday it'll be Reading at home Friday, then at Reading for this week, both puck drops at 7 p.m., and it will be your first time seeing, of course, the Reading Royals. What's the scouting report from what you've seen on them so far, and look to get hopefully two Ws, one at home, one on the road?
Yeah, I think, you know, Reading plays hard. They play a heavy game, so it should be a physical matchup this weekend. They're a big team. They got some talent up front. Their special teams are pretty good, so we're going to have to stay disciplined. You know, hopefully they'll get a couple call-ups, fingers crossed. Maybe their farm team will call some guys up. But, no, it should be for a good battle this weekend. You know, like I was told this morning that there's only standing room left already for Friday night, so should make it for an exciting Friday night at home, being back.
Yeah, love it. I love it. And the new name, Harding Mazzotti, is a big a partner of ours, Sylvain, here on 104.5 The Team, yeah. ESPN Radio. So love to have that building named after them. It's great. Paul Harding and his staff do a great job, and glad to see they took over that building and the naming rights. I think I ask you every week, Coach, about Jeremy Brodeur, but I'm going to do it again. What are you seeing from Brodeur? He's 2-0-1 on the season with a 93% save percentage. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, you know, like, Brode's a veteran guy. He's one of our leaders, and, you know, he slows things down at the back there. And, you know, like, on Saturday night, he gave us a chance to win. It was just too bad we couldn't pull it off for him. With the 4-on-3s, 5-on-3s, he made some really huge saves for us, right? Your goalie needs to be your best penalty killer, and he definitely was that night. And then on Sunday, they came at us in the third period. I think he ended up with 40 shots. Like, we kind of sat back a little bit when we took the lead, and that's something we got to learn we can't do. But maybe the guys feel a bit comfortable with Brodes back there. But we're really happy he's with us, and you know, we're going to rely on him quite a bit. But Brennan's done a great job for us too, so another young goalie up and coming. So we're going to share the net for a while, and then we'll see, we'll go from there after.
Coach Goulier, always a pleasure on a Wednesday to get caught up with the Adirondack Thunder. I would say I want to promote heavily all the available tickets for Friday night, but I don't think I should do that with standing room only. So I think you're all locked in with fans on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, let's pack it anyways. Get everyone in, standing room. It'll be a great atmosphere, and the boys will be excited to have the pack house again. And, you know, that's going to give us – that's the advantage we have here playing in Glens Falls. Our fans are like that seven men for us and give us that energy. So let's make sure we come Friday and let's pack it again.
Sounds good, Coach. Always a pleasure. Thank you for a few minutes. We'll talk to you this time next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much. Have a good day,
take
guys.
Take care. You too, Coach.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Sylvain Cloutier. They've got the Reading Royals Friday at 7, and then they go on the road Saturday to the Reading Royals. Both times they'll drop the puck at 7 p.m.